Thank you, Jerry, and we will swing it over to you, as always, at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays lose 5-2 to the Atlanta Braves. Tough day for Daniel Norris, tough day for Dalton Pompey, tough day for the offense in general. The Blue Jays lead the league in runs scored, but only managed a couple today. Still scored 15 over the course of the homestand, but dropped 2 out of 3 games. We begin with Eddie in Fort Erie, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Eddie, you're the leadoff man on Blue Jays Talk today.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Mike. You know what? It was a tough series for the Blue Jays to lose. I mean, anytime you have to go up against, you know, tough pitching, not only in this series but in the last one, you know, it really makes it hard for you to, like, you know, bounce back a little bit. And I think the off day is really going to be, you know, great for everybody because, you know, you have to, you know, I know it's still early in the year, we're in April, but you have to kind of, like, you know, correct a few things, like, you know, go deeper in a little bit of the games in the case of the pitching staff, because there's going to be games where you're going to have to rely on your pitching a little bit just to kind of, like, give you a chance to win instead of being down, like, four or five runs every night, you know?
Yeah, well, yesterday R.A. Dickey did kind of give them a chance to win in going 7 innings after they were down by 4, but it's a good time for an off day. I think there's a lot more angst and panic among the fans than there is among the players. I mean, they understand that there are 149 games left in the season. They're 6-7. They haven't been playing well in this homestand. It's been a bad week. It's been a bad week that followed what was a pretty good week. So I don't know if they're, you know, I guarantee you they're not feeling as bad as all the people out there are. They would like to have picked up some wins, but I don't really think there's all that much concern, especially if Devin Travis can be okay to get back in on Tuesday and if there's good news on Jose Reyes. But there are definitely things that have to improve, and starting pitching is tops among them.
Yeah, I'm not worried about what's going on. I mean, baseball is like that, you know, and it's all about adjustments too. That's why baseball is a long season. You know, you just have to, go with it and see what happens. You know.
Yeah, I know you do. You're right. Thank you, Eddie.
Yep.
Appreciate the call. Blue Jays lose it 5-2 to the Braves. Aaron Sanchez is throwing in the Blue Jays bullpen right now, doing his between starts throw day. Sanchez started on Thursday in the finale against Tampa Bay Rays and is due to start on Wednesday. So this would be his normal throw day, and you wonder, maybe, did he not throw this morning because maybe they thought they might need him in the game? People talking about Blue Jays wanting to use Aaron Sanchez out of the bullpen, but he's still in the rotation for now, and I would think for at least a couple more turns. He's been not great, but he's been fine. Carl is in Elliottsville, New York. Hey, Carl.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call today. I was just wondering, you know, even Sanchez maybe moving him back to the bullpen, do you think the Blue Jays would consider ever going to a three-man?
A three-man what?
A three-man rotation. Sorry, I had my service there.
Yeah, you got a terrible cell phone, Carl. I'm sorry. A three-man rotation.
Three-man rotation, maybe?
For what, like 3 innings each?
Yeah. We'll get Dickey out there every couple of days.
He can't throw 90 pitches every 3 days. Nobody can. If you go with a three-man rotation, then basically what you have to do is have a six-man rotation because you're going to ask 2 guys to pitch 3 innings every 3 days, and they'll have to kind of piggyback with each other. You would think that R.A. Dickey with the knuckleball could go every other day or, you know, really doesn't need as much rest as everybody else. And, in fact, Dickey might be fine as part of a four-man rotation. But nobody else would be. You can't ask Mark Burley to go out and pitch every 3 days. You can't ask Drew Hutchison or Daniel Norris. No, the Oakland A's thought about a three-man rotation, but it was, again, three starters, three innings each, and each one of them had a different reliever to piggyback on them. It just, you just don't have enough roster spots to make that happen, and you want your better pitchers throwing as many innings as they possibly can. So, no, the answer is not to pull back. The answer is to get your starting pitchers to pitch better and get deeper into games. Paul in Winkler, Manitoba. Hey, Paul. Hello, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Okay. So I was thinking how the Jays, we got so many question marks. We got a question mark at center field, second base, our rotation, our bullpen. I don't believe that contending teams can have that many question marks on one roster in order to compete. You look at a team like the Tigers who are in there every year. You got their starting. They don't really have any question marks. Guys are going to have down years, up years. That's kind of even out. We can't head into a year with so many question marks and expect to have success.
Tigers have a question mark in center field. They have a question mark at shortstop. They have a question mark at third base. They have an injury-prone catcher. They have huge question marks in the bullpen.
Who is this? The Tigers?
Yeah.
This year, maybe, yes, I would agree with you. But I'm talking previous years when they were going to contend when we knew that.
Last year, their bullpen was horrible.
Well, their bullpen was horrible, but it's not like it was really a big question mark hitting into the year.
It was. But I mean, even it's worse, isn't it, if it's not a question mark heading into the year and it turns out to be terrible?
Right, but well, that's kind of my...
I think you can't make these blanket statements, Paul, because it's simply not true that, you know, teams that are contenders don't have question marks. They have tons of them. Everybody does. There are no perfect teams. There are no teams without holes. There are no teams without questions of positions that need to be answered, and the contenders and the championship teams are the ones that over the course of 162 games have those questions answered positively. Guys step up who no one expects, or guys don't get hurt and wind up having great years. And that's, you know, kind of the story of a 6-month season. And nobody has their questions answered the first 2 weeks.
I mean, I would agree with that. What I'm saying is the Jays have so many question marks. You're going to expect a big year from one guy. Say Donaldson has an even bigger year. Jose has a down year a little bit. It evens out. But what I'm saying is when you have so many question marks, it's kind of hard to rely on all these guys to have these big step-up years. It's
yes.
It's kind of relying on too much hope.
No. It's a lot to rely on all these guys to have big years, but the people that there are the big question marks about aren't people that the Blue Jays need to have big years from. I mean, look, Dalton Pompey's hitting 160. Kevin Pillar's hitting 240. And the Blue Jays are leading the league in runs scored. The starting pitching hasn't been good so far. And yet they're still just a game under 500. In the first 2 weeks of the season, the way people are reacting and you know, from the things you see on Twitter and you hear from, not necessarily from you, but just in general, you would think that through 13 games, this team was 3-10, and they're not. They're 6-7. Have they played well this week by any means? No, not at all. But they're not in a bad spot, and as you kind of feel your way through this first part of the season, you'd love for them to be doing better, but they're not burying themselves by any means.
Well, Mike, I guess my point is they just have so many question marks in different areas, not only positionally, but as well as on the mound. And when you have those two going combined, it's kind of hard to rely on one or the other every night. But that's pretty much all I got, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. Appreciate the call. I feel like, and I know people pay more attention to this team than any other team in the major leagues, but I feel like there's a thought out there that there are teams that don't have question marks and teams that don't have holes. Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista, and Edwin Encarnacion are not question marks. They're three of the best hitters in the game. R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley are not question marks. They're 200-inning starting pitchers who are going to have ERAs between 350 and 4. Russell Martin's not a question mark. He's probably not going to have a 400 on base like he did last year in Pittsburgh. But it's going to be around 340, 350, and he's going to be an outstanding defensive catcher. Jose Reyes is not a question mark. He's going to get hurt. But when he's on the field, and he played 143 games last year, he's going to be a very good leadoff man and a top-quality offensive shortstop. The question marks are the guys in supporting roles. And the bullpen, sure. As soon as a question mark, Castro's a question mark. Estrada's a question mark. And Norris and Sanchez. But the guys who really have to do the heavy lifting, and I think this is something that's missed by a lot of people, the guys who have to do the heavy lifting on this team are not question marks. We continue to take your calls, but first let's listen in and see what the skipper had to say. Here's John Gibbons' post-game comments in the wake of today's 5-2 loss to the Atlanta Braves.
John, was it mainly just fastball command with Norris that was a problem today?
I mean, really commanded everything. You know, it was one of those days. It was a tough day for him. But we've told you that there's going to be days like that. It's unfortunate, but, you know, while he's cutting his teeth, you know, at this level, there's going to be some days it's like that. You know, why that happens, you know, that's just, well, who knows? I mean, that's kind of in baseball. The young kids, they do that. And some nights he's going to be lights out. So live with it. But, you know, I think we got a huge outing out of Francis. Really kept us in the game. Really saved our bullpen because we were pretty short down there. So that was big. You know, Shelby Miller, you know, he he's had our number. He's pretty good. I remember last year we were on a nice little roll, and he kind of started our tailspin when St. Louis came to town. I think it was back to back shutouts. Maybe won the first nine, then back to back shutouts and started us reeling a little bit. So he's a tough assignment. And once you spot him five runs, I mean, guys like that, it's rare that you come back.
John, what did you see on the Gomes double in the first inning, just how the ball was played and whatnot?
Well, yeah, I saw him get back, and he was turned, and then he turned back to square up to it, and when I thought he lost his balance, and he lost the height on his reach a little bit. So, on that ball, you just stay turned, and you'll be fine.
John, given all the rookies on the team this year, you sort of mentally prepare yourself, at least for the start of the year, that there are going to be days like today when, you know, the rookies are inconsistent and whatnot.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, that's part of establishing yourself at the big leagues, you know. They're here for a reason. We like them. They're all very talented, and you know, it's one of those deals when it clicks and they gain that little extra confidence, you know, to believe, hey, I can survive this, and even when I'm not at my best, that's when you have something. But you know, that does sometimes. Every individual is different, but that can take a little bit of time. But if you're going to commit to them, I mean, you better be able to live with it a little bit anyway.
Gabby, I know that the day off tomorrow is probably coming at the right time, but
with
two of your infielders now suffering from some rib injuries and kind of day-to-day, are you going to have to start to give some thought as to maybe bringing somebody up for Tuesday?
Well, I think the plan is, Tuesday, Reyes should be good to go. I mean, he's feeling better, and he's probably going to hit just right-handed, see how that goes a little bit, and maybe buy him some time that way. And Travis, you know, they x-rayed it, and there's no crack in his rib, which is a great thing. We'll see with the day off. I mean, he's a tough kid. You know, who knows? Maybe a day or two of rest, and he should be fine, you know, just a bruise. So I think, you know, it's probably a little early for that. But, you know, if they don't heal up and Reyes isn't good, then you'll probably see something. I'm not sure.
Gibby, I just want to be clear. That was a ball you thought Dalton should catch?
Yeah, I definitely think it was a catchable ball. I just think he turned it at the last second to try to square up to it. Which, you know, when you're on the move and running laterally, you start turning back. And that ball, what it does too, it just keeps sailing a little bit, you know, and you're not quite as quick. He'll that'll be a ball in the future. He'll make that play. Mm-hmm.
Your reference to Reyes, are you saying you think he'll be ready or you're hoping he'll be ready? I mean, based on what he's done in between, is he looking good?
Both. Hope and I believe he will be.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so there you go. John Gibbons hopes and believes that Jose Reyes will be able to play on Tuesday and that Devin Travis will as well. And if that's true, that is a big, big blow dodged by the Blue Jays. Reyes has a cracked rib. Travis does not. Neither of them were available today. Travis got hit by a pitch in his first plate appearance, leading off the bottom of the first, and that was it. So really, the Blue Jays played today with neither Devin Travis nor Jose Reyes, and they lost 5-2 to the Atlanta Braves. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking your calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. 64 amateur baseball teams are here as part of Amateur Baseball Team Photo Day, and they are going to have their team photos taken on the field at Rogers Center over the course of the next little while. Steve Tolleson, Danny Valencia, Kevin Pillar have stuck around, and they will be in the photos with the players. So it's a very cool day for, again, 64 amateur baseball teams that are here and waiting their turn to get down on the field. Dave in Mississauga listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto. Dave, you're on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, well, I tell you, Gibby sort of touched on a little bit concerning Norris, because I was just interested to get your ideas, thoughts, suggestions. Like, does the league have a bit of a good scouting report on him? Is he not hitting his spots? Is he? He never seems to be. He's too nervous. He seems to be under control, but obviously he's not starting out as well as many people thought he would. Any ideas on what's going on with him?
Well, he said today in the clubhouse, told reporters that he's going through a bit of a dead arm phase, which is interesting to hear. You don't expect to hear that, and that's what pitchers used to happen to pitchers in the middle of March every year. If that's true, one hopes that that arm will become undead very soon, because Daniel Norris needs all the weapons he has at his disposal in order to be an effective pitcher as a rookie in the major league. So that's what he says. I thought he looked pretty good in the start earlier this week against the Rays. Not as good as we saw him in the spring, and not as good, as we saw him in New York, but he was able to pitch in and out of trouble. And
right.
This, what Daniel Norris has done for the Blue Jays to this point in three starts is be a little bit better than okay. Today he wasn't good. But the last two starts, a little bit better than okay. And I think that's fine. But like John Gibbons said, if you're committed to this guy as one of your starters, he's got to be better. And you've got to – it's reasonable to expect more. And – you have to give him time to figure things out as well. You got to work both sides of that thing.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And I think the Blue Jays are committed to Daniel Norris. I don't think he's going anywhere. But this dead arm better go away quick, because if he's not capable of being the kind of pitcher he can be, then he's not going to help. The good thing is, usually when a pitcher does go through a dead arm, it doesn't last very long. One start, usually. And he will get the ball again when the Blue Jays are in Tampa against the Rays next weekend. Shane in Toronto. You're on Blue Jays Talk. Hey, Shane.
Hey, Mike. Hey, great show as always.
Thank you.
Quick question for you here regarding Sanchez and Norris. How long do you let them go? I mean, they both look like they're struggling a bit with command and stuff, throwing first pitch strikes and stuff. How many outings left would you give them before you might have to think about sending them down? And if that's the case, where do you go from there?
Well, I don't think you're going to see Sanchez sent down. I think, if anything, he'd be sent to the bullpen. and you know, to be a big arm in the back of the bullpen like he was last year. I think that if Norris doesn't turn things around, then yeah, he goes to Buffalo and makes three or four starts down there and then is back up here. But how many starts do you give him? I would say six. I think that's fair. You want to get as long a look as possible without impacting the team. And the Blue Jays have won two of Daniel Norris's three starts, right? You can't forget that. They lost today. But they won two out of they won his two starts before this one. So today was a bad one. The offense didn't click either, but again, they're without Reyes and Travis, so that doesn't help. But I think I'd like to see them get six. I don't think the leash is going to be as long on Sanchez as it is on Norris because they know how much he can help in the bullpen. And who starts? Either Estrada or Francis at this point, I would think.
Well, I appreciate that, Mike. Like I said, you know, I always love your insight. And this team's pretty exciting. You know, it's nice to see homegrown youth finally coming through the system. But, you know, it's just hope we don't waste good years from Jose and Edwin and stuff.
Well, if Jose and Edwin were off to good starts, the Blue Jays wouldn't be 6-7 right now.
True enough, my man, true enough.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. I sat in the booth a week ago in Baltimore talking about the special feeling, the way this team was playing, the talent here, how good things are. It doesn't all go away in a week. They had a good week. They've had a bad week. And there are about 24 weeks left in the season. Russ in Jersey. Russ, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Good afternoon, Mike. How are you? Well, obviously, you know, you're not going to panic, and anyone who's crazy to panic 13 games into the season. But a couple things. First of all, I think what the fans are, you know, talking about the offense and as many runs as they've scored, but 6 of the 13 games they've scored 3 runs or less. Now, the other 7, they're, you know, scoring 6, what is it, 6 or more runs. So, you know, you're going to have to win a lot of those 3-2, 2-1 games. Not a lot, but you're going to have to win a bunch of them during the season if you're going to compete. And I think a little bit of the inconsistency on the offense, you know, gets fans upset. You know, when you come out and you have those 3 games in Tampa and you score against Tampa and you scored 2 runs or less in 3 of the games, and the other one you belted out 12 runs. So,
yeah. Oh, I know. Then that gets people upset. It's true. But, yeah, that's just the way it works. Unfortunately, teams can't chop up runs and spread them out.
No, but you just wish it would be a little more. You know, I'd rather them score four or five and not 12, and I think they win a lot more games. But
you've watched enough baseball. You know it doesn't work that way.
That's right. I know that. Now, one more thing about the pitching. I'm a little bit more concerned. Obviously, you know, you're not going to give up on a guy 3 starts, 4 starts. That's ridiculous. But, you know, if you're going to compete, you got to get some length out of these pitches. You can't, you know, Hutch has struggled in 2 of the 3 games. And even the Yankee game on opening day, he only gave up 1 run. But there were some hard-hit balls that were hit right at people. The key thing is just not to wear out the bullpen. You know, you can live with, you know, helping guys through their struggles early on, but you got to get some length out of the guys, because then you don't want it to come till June and, you know, guys' arms are falling off because they've gone to the bullpen so early. So I think the key thing is, even when the guys don't pitch well, if some of them can get through 6 innings and, you know, maybe even give up 3-4 innings, but at least he got through 6, that you don't need to, you know, bring in the bullpen in the 4th and 5th inning every, you know, or in the 5th inning every game.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You do need length out of the starting rotation. They got 7 from Dickey yesterday, but, yeah, Hutchison didn't make it out of the 5th the game before. Sanchez only got 1 out in the 6th the game before that. And I think that hopefully that's coming. If it's not, then this is none's going to work here. But you would think that there's enough in this rotation that they'll be able to get some length, that they'll be able to pitch into the 7th on a regular basis. These pitchers are good enough to do that. They just have to start doing it. And 13 games into the season, Burley and Dickey are the only ones who are doing it on a regular basis.
Mike, thanks. Just one last thing. Are you surprised that A-Rod's played this? I didn't think he would hit anything. And he's, you know, he's four home runs already on the season. I know it's early, but I didn't. I even think the Yankees are pretty shocked in what that guy's put up so far. Not that they're going to be any good this year, but, you know, coming back from what he's come back with, I thought, you know, he's hit four homers and he's hitting .315. I know it's early on, but that's been pretty surprising to me how well he's done in the first 15 games early, 13 games early on.
Yeah, very surprising to me, too. You know, you expect a guy who didn't play for a year, who's 40, who has a bad hip, that it would be almost impossible for him to come back and have anything even remotely resembling a strong season. But, you know, there's a reason he's one of the greatest hitters of all time, and it's not just the syringe that he seems to be sticking into various parts of himself on a consistent basis. He's a very, very, very talented hitter, and he's defying the odds again. Is he doing it clean? Who knows? No one will ever believe that he is, whether he is or isn't. But regardless, there's no drug that can make you a good hitter. It can just make a good hitter better. And Alex Rodriguez, it is kind of silly what he's done so far this season. Thank you for the call, Russ. Thanks to everybody for the calls. We will continue to take your calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on sportsnet.ca/590, the Rogers Radio app, all sorts of places that you can continue to Blue Jays talk it up with us right up until 5 o'clock Eastern time. Phone lines are still open. We've got a few lines open at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We'll also hear from Dalton Pompey. I'm very interested to hear from Dalton Pompey. A rough day for him today. Bad read on the Johnny Gomes line drive, hit right at him. Just heard John Gibbons say he thought it was a catchable ball. Turned into a three-run double. Could have gotten the Blue Jays out of the first inning unscathed. Throwing error as well later that allowed another run to score. It's been a rough start to what's supposed to be his first full season in the major leagues for Dalton Pompey. Looking forward to hearing from him. Again, lines are open. Give us a call. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to you after the bottom of the hour. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, Blue Jays lose it 5-2 to the Atlanta Braves. So after winning their first two series on the road, they've lost their first two series at home. And an off day tomorrow could not come at a better time. The Jays have dropped 5 of 7. Devin Travis gets drilled in the rib cage just to leave the game in the first inning, and Jose Reyes missed this entire series with a cracked rib. Hopefully, and John Gibbons believes, both Reyes and Travis will be back Tuesday when the Blue Jays open a 3-game series against the Baltimore Orioles here at Rogers Center. Reyes may not be switch hitting for a while because the cracked rib hurts when he takes a swing left-handed, so he may be limited to only batting right-handed for a little while, but John Gibbons believes that Jose Reyes will be back in the lineup on Tuesday and believes the same out of Devin Travis, and both of those would be good things. The Blue Jays taking on those Baltimore Orioles in the first of three after the off day tomorrow. The Orioles currently leading the Boston Red Sox 8-3 in the eighth inning, so it looks as though they'll be improving to 7-5 on the season. The Blue Jays are 6-7 on the season, and in that opener of the Baltimore series, it is a pitching rematch of the Baltimore Orioles' home opener last Friday. Mark Burley against Bud Norris, a game the Blue Jays wound up winning by a score of 12-5. Make sure you join us at 7 Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch on Tuesday night. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Mark Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Remember, Blue Jays talk continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590.
Johnson walking first. Lines a base hit up the middle here in the third. up to second, stopping his Freeman. Now he continues to accelerate. Pompey's throw sails over the head of the third baseman. Gets away from Daniel Norris, backing up, sprinting to the plate, coming in to score is Freeman.
Throwing error by Dalton Pompey on that single by Chris Johnson. And instead of first and second, one out, or first and third maybe because Freeman was going to third, it was a run in and a man on third, and Johnson scored on a sac fly by Johnny Gomes that made it 5-0, and your final score 5-2. The Atlanta Braves beat the Blue Jays. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Before we get to the next call, I think this is important. There have been some quotes coming out on Twitter, and I want to hear it, and I want you to hear it too. Dalton Pompey, who had a rough, rough day. It was his throwing error there. It was the three-run double over his head by Johnny Gomes in the first inning. Pompey met with the media after the game. Here's what he had to say.
Dalton, can you take us through what happened on that fly ball?
Well, first and foremost, like, I just want to apologize to my teammates and my fans, coaching staff. You know, we lose that game because I don't make that play, and I take full responsibility for that. The ball was hit. I went back. It was hit pretty hard. I kind of stopped for a second, broke back, and the ball started to slice back to my reverse side, and I couldn't make the adjustment in time, and, you know, it tipped off my glove, and I didn't make the catch, and it is what it is. So,
how important is it for you, I mean, as a rookie as well, to, okay, you made a mistake, and then it's done, and not let it kind of eat at you?
It's really tough, you know. I'm trying to come here and make a difference on this team. I found ever since, you know, the season started, I've been playing, you know, somewhat scared just because I don't want to make a mistake. And, you know, it took a situation like that where I couldn't bail out my pitcher and Daniel Norris. I've made plays for him, you know, many times in the past. And, you know, this time I didn't step up to the plate. And it's a learning experience for me. And, you know, it just shows me I need to be more aggressive. And you know, if I make mistakes being aggressive, then it won't be as bad. So.
Was your first instinct that the ball wasn't hit quite as hard as it was?
Well, it was a low line drive, and those are the toughest for any outfielder. You kind of just freeze because I don't know if it's in or back. It's probably my mistake, too. I should have been playing deeper in that situation, but I wasn't. I went back on the ball, kind of it was hit directly over my head, and I broke to the right instead of maybe to my glove side. You know, there's nothing I can do now but kind of just move forward.
You just stood here and apologized to your teammates and fans. Did you say anything to your teammates before we came in here when you guys came off the field?
No, I didn't. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I take responsibility for what happened. You know, I made a bad throw also. You know, I didn't charge the ball as hard as I could have, and it's a learning experience for me, but unfortunately it was one of those where, you know, I feel like I cost the team, you know, a chance to stay in the game. And I mean, I know most of the guys know how I feel, and you know, I'm sorry, but I can only do what I can do now moving forward, and that's what I'm going to do, is just focus on, you know, being a better player, a better person, a better teammate.
Well, you know that one day a hero, next day a goat maybe. That's just baseball. That's just sports in a long season. Even as a youngster, you know, you understand that, right?
Yeah, I understand, but at the same time, like, every game matters. You know, we're trying to win here, and you know, mistakes that I made today, you know, potentially cost us, you know, win now. It's a long season, but, you know, you look back in September and this game might have mattered. So I'm just trying to move forward, and that's all I can do.
When you say you're playing scared, what? Why?
Just because, you know, it's the big leagues, you know. When I used to watch them on TV, I used to think, you know, they're pretty much perfect people, and they made all the plays, and they never made mistakes, really. You know, last thing I wanted to do in a situation is just, you know, make sure I catch the ball, make sure I, you know, make the routine plays, and you know, sometimes I felt like, you know, I've played back on the ball a little bit when it's a ground ball, just so I make sure I field it instead of being aggressive. You know, like, my whole life I've played aggressively, and you know, for some reason, the last, you know, 10 games or so, I haven't been as aggressive as I can be, and it took a situation like this for me to realize that I have to go back to the player that I was and continue to be aggressive. And, you know, if you make aggressive mistakes, then no one really, you know, says anything, so.
Does the fact that the team is not going well accentuate that feeling of I've got to be perfect?
Not so much perfect in that situation, just just to, you know, handle your one ninth, as they say. You know, I'm the center fielder. I'm one of the nine players. So if I can handle my one ninth and everybody else does theirs, you know, it should create a winning team. And today I didn't do that. So I take responsibility for it.
Good time for a day off, huh?
I think so. I think it's good for me to regroup and the whole team to regroup and kind of just come back and fresh on Tuesday and you know, hopefully get on a run.
Does your defensive play, is that carry over to what you're doing at the plate or the other way? If you know?
Sometimes it does. You know, I'd be lying if any player said it wasn't like that. In that situation, no, it wasn't. I was just kind of, you know, just one of those times where I felt like 99 times out of 100 I'd catch it, and I didn't catch it this time. But my offensive, what I'm doing offensively, wasn't the reason why I didn't make that play.
That's Dalton Pompey, and that's was good to hear, and that was hard to hear. That's a 22-year-old kid beating himself up over a rough game, but taking responsibility, holding himself accountable. And interesting that he would admit he's been playing scared, afraid to make a mistake. Usually you don't hear that from a guy until he gets sent down and then comes back up and then talks about that. And if Pompey recognizes that now and he says it took that play for me to realize it, and I'm going to go back to the aggressive player I used to be, that's good news. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. That's some grown-up stuff right there from Dalton Pompey. Jamie is in Etobicoke. Jamie, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. I just wanted to have a quick comment and maybe ask a couple questions if it's possible. Going back to the previous caller, the gentleman talking about the question marks on the team, it started off with question marks, but a lot of those question marks got filled with the bullpen doing as well as it's been doing. Pilar is doing well. Devin Travis is doing well. So a lot of those question marks have been answered.
Well, I wouldn't say a lot of them have been answered yet, especially about the bullpen. I mean, Castro and Asuna have done well, it's true. But Aaron Loop's had some hiccups. Brett Cecil's had a couple of rather large hiccups. For me, those are the guys I would prefer to see struggle because, you know what you can expect from them and that they're more than likely going to be reliable. But I don't think 13 games into a season, any question's been answered. Pilar's defense has been just outstanding. But his offense hasn't. You know, I think that people get excited and have gotten excited about what Kevin Pillar has done as a left fielder and think, yeah, and he's gotten some hits too. But he's hitting .240 with one walk. So the offense really, and you know, it's been a rough weekend for him at the plate. But the offense hasn't been there to the extent that a lot of people seem to believe it's been there. Like I said to that caller with all the questions don't get answered for months. And we may not know. Look what we thought we knew about the Blue Jays last year at the end of May.
Yeah.
You know?
Very true. Also, I want to touch base on Pilar and Dalton Pompey. Do you think maybe they might platoon each player when Saunders comes back so you can keep Pilar's glove out in the outfield, maybe play center field, his natural position? What do you think about that happening?
I think the original plan before Michael Saunders got hurt was that Saunders was going to play left field pretty much every day. Pilar would get some starts against lefties. And Pompey would play center pretty much every day with Pilar getting some starts here and there to kind of keep him fresh. I think that plan has probably changed. But again, like I've said all weekend and pretty much all season, it's going to be a while till Michael Saunders comes back. He may not be back until next weekend at the earliest. And things could change. We saw Jose Reyes and Devin Travis get hurt this weekend. Lots of things could possibly change, and there's no reason to make a call on Saunders until he's ready to come back. You know, as much as people want to say, all right, well, send Pompey down to Buffalo and move Pilar to center and let Saunders play. Well, what if this keeps up with Pilar? You know, Kevin Pilar is one for his last 18. What if that doesn't? What if he doesn't come out of that? You know, what if Pompey catches fire in this next week and has an incredible series against Baltimore?
And I think he's going to as well. I think he's going to step up his play aggressive, like you said, or like he said. And I think it's really going to help him. Hopefully, he turns it around and starts playing like he was last year towards the end of the year. I mean, that would be just amazing if that happens.
Yeah, I think we all hope so. I think the ideal situation is that when Michael Saunders comes back, everybody's playing well, and you got to really think hard to figure out where to put him. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Blue Jays lose 5-2 to the Atlanta Braves. Dalton is in Richmond Hill. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello?
Hi. First of all, I just want to say that I'm doing my mom's taxes right now for her, which is thoroughly more enjoyable than being a Toronto sports fan. If I can just put that out there, I'm pretty much a Donaldson like sprained back away from just giving it up, you know, in general. The first thing I just want to get to is that Reyes has a cracked rib.
Yes.
And they're going to potentially play him on Tuesday. When don't you think they should probably be resting him until the rib is not cracked?
Well, I'm not a doctor. And I'm assuming since you're an accountant, you're not a doctor either. And the Blue Jays have a lot of very good medical professionals who have years and years of training in medicine. And I think they know that stuff a lot better than we do. Well, Reyes said yesterday that he's been told he can't make it worse. The crack isn't going to get any worse by playing. He was worried more about the little muscle strain that he had. And I'm sure that's what he's been told by the doctors. So if he can play to pain tolerance and if he can play well, then you know, I'm not going to pretend I know more than the doctors.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, you know, with the whole thing that went on with Adam Lind's, like, broken ankle or a fractured ankle or a twisted.
He had a cracked bone in the top of his foot, but they didn't know that it was broken. They didn't know until the second MRI. They know that Jose Reyes' rib is cracked.
And wasn't it his mother's suggestion or something to get the second MRI?
Yeah, it was his mother's suggestion or something to get an MRI. I think there's a little more to that story than anything else. But regardless, we don't know the ramifications of playing with a cracked rib as well as they know the ramifications of playing with a cracked rib.
Sure. I know. Just at the beginning of the year, they said that they were going to give him an off day here and there. And, you know, just it's kind of funny to me that now he's going to be playing with a cracked rib. You know, anyways, but there's that. The other thing I just want to talk about is I think the hitting will be fine. You know, and I think the hitting has been fine for the most part. You know, right now, if you look at Dalton Pompey's his stats, sure, his batting average is low, but I mean, if you look at the peripherals, I mean, he's still a guy that's not striking out more than he did last year. I think even less. He's getting on base. You know, he's not getting on base because his batting average is low, but I think that'll correct in itself. And you know, I think he still has some power numbers. So I have complete faith that Dalton Pompey is going to hit. And you know, I also think you know, Martin and Batista, anybody who thinks that you know, they're not going to do what you know they're expected. I think that'd be a complete shock, and in a couple months, I think that's something more to talk about then. But you know, right now, the starting pitching I think has the worst ERA in FIP in the league, and you know, sure, I think some of that, you know, Stroman injury, you know, I think we can all see like how devastating that really was. Now at this point, when we are struggling. Whether it's veterans, whether it's young pitchers, whether it's rookies, like we're just not getting what we need so far out of the starting pitching. I think relief has been okay. I think it's going to be about the same. You know, maybe the vets will do a little bit better. Maybe the rookies will falter a little bit. But so far, I think pretty much, I think we've played better than our record. I think we've lost all the one-run games.
One and four, the pitching has
been so bad. It's been terrible. Hutchinson, I mean, Aaron Sanchez has had a pretty good start, an average start, but a terrible one. I think that's what it's going to come down to, as per all seasons. And hopefully, you know, it doesn't come down to that Stroman injury, because that's the one glaring weakness that's been so far. Don't you agree?
Starting pitching hasn't been terrible. It hasn't been good. But it by no means has it been terrible. Hutchison had one good start, two bad ones. Norris has had two good starts, one bad one. Dickey's been fine. Burley's been very good. Sanchez has been okay once and bad once. But that has been, you're right, it's been the most glaring weakness on the team. And I appreciate the call. It's funny that that we come back to Stroman as though Stroman was a guarantee. And I know we'd all like to think he was, but we're talking about a guy with 20 starts in the major leagues. And he was going to be another question mark out of all these question marks going into the season. Could Stroman do what he did last year in his first full season in the major leagues? You know, we can't talk like we thought, like we all knew that Marcus Stroman was going to be a Cy Young candidate in 2015. It was going to be his first full season in the major leagues. Would he have helped? Certainly you would believe he would have helped. And hopefully would have helped a lot. But yeah, the starting pitching, Hutchison, Norris, Sanchez have got to be better. If Dickey and Burley keep doing what Dickey and Burley have been doing, that's completely fine. Blue Jays lose it 5-2 to the Atlanta Braves. Henry in Toronto, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk.
Okay, Mr. Mike, I know that things take time. I understand that. Our catcher, for example, was a poor hitter to start with. He's getting a little better, and he's a fantastic catcher, in my opinion. But I don't care what anybody says. This Pompey is not a center fielder for our team. We have to replace him, because I don't care how long we wait. He's not a good receiver. He's not a good hitter, and he's too young, and he should be sent down to the minors for a year and maybe brought back then. But in my opinion, that's only my opinion, I'm telling you, he's not for our team.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Henry. I will take that under advisement. What do you want me to say to that? Dalton Pompey's had a rough start to this season. There's no question about that. Dalton Pompey's an extremely talented player. Is he going to be a great rookie, and is he going to spend all of 2015 in the major leagues? Who knows? But we'll see. Right now, Dalton Pompey, I believe, has a better OPS than Kevin Pillar. Paul is in London. Hey, Paul.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller. Love your show.
Thank you.
It really drives me crazy when I hear all these knee-jerk reactions 13 games into the season, and everybody's doom and gloom. We're not going to do anything. We got 149 games left. Take a Valium, guys, please. Or just don't watch the team. You know, don't watch baseball then. It's just funny to listen to these people. But anyways, my question is about Johan Santana. Now, the Blue Jays signed him as, you know, a question mark. Is he still in the system? Is he progressing? Or do you think he will one day, you know, come up to start games?
Yeah, maybe not till the All-Star break.
Really, that one?
I don't think he's even gotten on a mound yet.
Oh, okay. I was just curious about him.
No, Johan Santana is still a ways away.
Okay. So he's not going to be the savior.
Well, you never know. I mean, he could wind up making 20 starts for them, but he could wind up making none. Right? Yeah. I think he's gravy. He's found money. He's nothing that you can count on or rely on. But
No. I was just curious about it.
Yeah. It would be nice.
Yeah. Well, the pitching, like, give these guys, you know, a chance. You know, it's like about 3 starts each, and so we, like you said, after 6 starts, maybe we can start maybe saying, well, he's not going to work in the starting rotation, let's move him to the bullpen and try to bring somebody else up. But I'm not ready to panic yet. You know, 13 games, what the heck, hey?
Yeah, no, I'm glad to hear it.
A long season to go.
But Toronto sports fans, I mean, this is what Toronto sports have done to Toronto sports fans.
Yeah.
So, it feels like, you know, as a fan of Toronto sports, you don't feel comfortable unless there's stuff to be upset about.
I suppose that's right. It's human nature.
It's a comforting thing. Thanks for the call, Paul. Thanks. I appreciate it a lot. And I checked, and Dalton Pompey does, in fact, have a higher OPS than Kevin Pillar right now by just a couple of points. Take that for what it's worth. But just before everyone starts screaming about how Dalton Pompey can't hit, Dalton Pompey can't this, and Dalton Pompey can't that. On base percentage is 9 points higher than Pillar, and his slugging percentage is 6 points lower. So they've basically been the same hitter this year. Pillar has been head and shoulders the better defender. He has been an outstanding defensive player this season. We'll take one more call before we say goodbye. Victoria is in Waterford. Hey, Victoria.
Hi there.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Getting better, thank you.
Good. I'm still so excited. This is an awesome, awesome team, and nobody has disappointed me. Nobody. I'm so proud of them. I'm really proud of Reyes and the work he did off season. I'm just so proud of Dickey for he's really putting up a fight, man. He's fighting this year. And I just love everybody, and I think there's lessons to be learned. If you look at the very first five starts of each starter, everything was awesome. I mean, man, Dickey's first start, he fought. He fought. And Sanchez, he just got a little lessons to learn. They've all got it, and they're all going to have it stronger and stronger as long as they stay healthy and learn their lessons. Maybe Norris should wear some little flower power bikini underwear or something to get his mind off of his nerves. But overall,
I don't think his nerves have been an issue, but I will suggest that to him.
The little garter belt thing, eh?
That's right, Nuke LaLoosh style, why not?
Yeah. But my motto is to everybody is believe it and stay cozy cool in your own skin and controlled confidence. And everybody should be confident on that team because they're all fantastic.
Thank you, Victoria. Appreciate that little ray of sunshine as we go here. And I'll tell you, everybody on that team is confident. And everybody on this team believes they can win. And everybody on this team also understands that we're 13 games into a 162-game season. You're one game under 500. By no means is it the end of the world or time to panic or time to blow it up or fire the manager or any of that other craziness that we've seen from what one hopes is a very small segment of the fan base over these first over this homestand. And the Blue Jays still have a chance to wind up breaking even on the homestand. They'll have to sweep the Orioles, which is an extraordinarily tall order. But that chance still exists. They're off tomorrow. It'll be nice. Take a deep breath. We're back Tuesday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 7:07 first pitch. Mark Burley and Bud Norris. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.